KRCL champions building a more socially engaged Utah through locally driven programming that promotes music discovery and civic participation. Tune in to KRCL on 90.9 FM for a curated mix of music, including at least one track by a Utah artist every hour. From alternative rock to reggae, blues to bluegrass, KRCL is here to bring you the greatest bangers all day, every day.
Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name's Summer. I am the drummer for Savage Daughters, and my pronouns are she, her.
I am Alex. I go by she, her. I play the guitar, and I sing.
I'm Tut. I play bass and sometimes vocals, and my pronouns are they, them.
Tut always likes to describe it as warehouse psych, and I don't really know where they came up with that, but I really enjoy that definition because it's somewhere between like this dark, like stoner psychedelic thing with, I mean, and recently we've been kind of also straying a little bit outside of that with our new single Sticky Butt Brain, which is more like of a just straight like post-rocky song, but like I think warehouse psych is a really cool descriptor, just like dark, melodic, weird stuff. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'd say about the same. Yeah, we incorporate so many different genres in what we're doing, but we really tend to lean towards that, like, I don't know, sound of the abyss in some way with some of our tracks, and I don't know, it just changes with how we're feeling.
So me and Alex are twins, best friends since fetus, you know, and it's pretty sick. Like, we like understand each other without having to like talk to each other, I guess. Like, I know when Alex is mad, she'll know when I'm mad, and we'll both pretend to not be mad. So we'll get mad at each other for calling the other out about being mad.
Let him know who's older.
Alex is older by 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I count it. I count that. I have to count it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, man.
I think we were in 5th grade and started playing the clarinet.
4th.
Oh, yeah, 4th. Because it was the year that SpongeBob came out. And we wanted to play the clarinet like Squidward.
Like, out of all the characters in SpongeBob?
Yeah, I did. He
seemed the most level-headed.
Yeah.
Of course, because that's what you're looking for when you're like, in 4th grade.
No, I just wanted someone realistic and grounded to not bullshit me. Squidward was that guy. We played in like school bands up until like our junior year in school. And then, God, I think it was just like high school was so like cliquey. So we quit doing that and went into different art for a while.
I was 16 and gay, right? So naturally I got an acoustic guitar on my 16th birthday.
By that time, like, it was just like, we're not going to have any friends in this band class. So I'm just going to learn how to play guitar and be a sad-ass 16-year-old gay, you know?
As you need to be.
Yeah. And then it just hit a point where I was, like, tired of playing guitar and singing, and I just wanted to sing, so I kind of forced Alex to, like, learn how to play guitar. And it just kind of went from there. I didn't touch an instrument until we started Savage, I think, 3 or 4 years after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of that time is kind of a blur for me. I was getting out of a really abusive relationship around that time. And earlier in the year, I'd bought Alex, like, a... Yeah, I got Alex a...
It was like an Ovation type guitar.
Yeah. Got Alex a guitar. stuff. And
then you bought a bass.
And then got a bass. And then...
I think that was a little bit of a tipping point, right?
Totally, yeah.
Oh, the telly, yeah. Okay. Not, it wasn't the Ovation. It was telly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Alex got me a bass and just kind of went from there. And then we started this new thing because it was like, look, we're not going to be the next Tegan and Sarah. Like, we got to move on from this.
We tried. It was a good time doing that, though.
Totally, yeah.
It was very, very constructive for us, I think, because... You know, acoustic and folk Americana was really popular at that time, and the coffee shop open mic thing was a real big thing at the time. So there were some cool artists that came through, and we would help run like a writing class, and then, yeah, just getting a Telecaster and Tut getting a bass, and me investing in a reverb pedal was the beginnings of where we are today.
Like, do you ever get sick of each other?
Oh my god, yeah, all the time.
Totally.
Like, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, at a show, have I been annoyed? Probably like right before a set, but
because I'm like too stoned or something.
Yeah, Tut's either like too god.
Or like I'm too shit.
Tut's like these two will be out like in the back of like the venue with a beer and just lit a cigarette, and I'm like, holy shit, because if I get these two together at the same level, I turn into like the mom. So I've been annoyed, but at the same time, like, who cares? Like, I'll be annoyed for 5 seconds and then get over it.
Part of me really dislikes to annoy you.
I know. I think that's why.
Is it like a sibling thing?
I think so. I think it is, and I think that Tut's taught me a lot of patience and tranquility in my life.
Let's take it back to, I was in 7th grade at Jolby Jensen in West Jordan, starting middle school. I had just moved to West Jordan from California, and it was in a little bit of a culture shock. And I remember being in symphonic band, because I've always played music too since I was, I don't know, like 5 years old. And I was in symphonic band, and Alex was my TA.
So
Alex and Tut, they're both 2 years older than me. So I was in 7th grade, they were in 9th grade. And I remember saying something, I guess, out loud about how I had just gotten an electric guitar and it was my first one. Alex overheard me. She brought me a Avril Lavigne
Under My Skin guitar. Chord guitar, and tab book.
Yeah.
I didn't use it.
And, like, at the time, you know, I wasn't super big into Avril Lavigne at the time, but I think that kind of, like, awakened some type of weird gay inside of me.
And should have.
And then, honestly, like, that was really the first and the last time that we had really, like, kind of engaged with each other. And then fast forward a couple years, and I was starting 10th grade, and they were in 12th grade, and we were finally, like, we were in the same school again. This time I had ran into Tut, and the first time that we had actually hung out, it was at a rave.
Yes.
And I was at a rave, and this guy, I don't know, was being a creep, and Tut saved me.
And was it me?
That was me.
Every single time I think it's Tut.
Fuck. Probably just because we went to a ton of raves together.
But then what?
That was the first and last rave I ever went to.
At, like, in the venue?
No, it was the rail.
The rail. Well, okay. So then, wait. How did we start?
Because I liked going to raves, and you liked going to raves.
Well, anyways, I was this really not corrupted kid, and all of my friends, like, nobody was Mormon, but we, you know, none of them were like doing any type of substances or anything like that. And then I started hanging out with Tut and, you know, just quickly went downhill.
I had a good time.
You know, 10th grade, you know, like all my friends in my friend circle at the time were just like, what the fuck are you doing? And I started, you know, hanging out with Tut and Alex and
like, I was not involved
all of their friends and, you know, quickly just it was like, yep, all the partying and the drugs and everything came from that. I had a great time and I did whippets for the first time with you and I broke a cabinet with my head. Yeah, eventually just we were hanging out all the time and I remember like I don't even think that I had really gotten into like Tegan and Sarah at that time. Like I wasn't really listening to them. And so I was and I didn't know I was gay or anything.
I knew.
And they just like brought that on fully and like showed me all of this music and I was just like, yeah. And then you know, sure enough. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing though. I just want to add that at the time that Tut and Summer were out being little rave candy kids back in that day, I was reading and writing Harry Potter fanfiction. So I was not involved in that. That is just those two running off of each other's energies and going.
Yeah, me and Summer can go. Yeah. Me and Summer are like on the same level of like drunkards down in like
just get you guys on the same level in general. It's
it's a good time.
Something else.
And then yeah, like shortly after that, we didn't really make music together, and we talked about doing it. And then I remember I was maybe like 17, and there used to be that bar downtown called Moe's. And it was like a bar and grill, and no longer exists, I don't believe, but. Yeah, they needed a drummer because they were going to do, like, it was, like, their first, like, instead of playing the open mic, like, they were playing
our first show.
And I offered to play the drums. And, yeah, we did that. And it is, we have footage of this. It's on YouTube. It exists. It's out there. Yeah, it sounds like shit.
It's bad. It's
but it was that was essentially like
that was
our
first show.
Ever, yeah, our first
our
show
first
together.
Thing,
stopped talking for a few years, like maybe like 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because we had a falling out or anything, just, you know,
you moved.
People grow up and yeah, I moved and moved back. And then there was one day where my old band Dream Slut, we were playing and we needed somebody to open for us. And you two came in mind and I contacted you. And it was super last minute, and you ended up showing up and playing. And then shortly after that, there was another show, and I just, like, jumped on the drums randomly, like, during the show.
Yes.
And I was really drunk. And
it sounds
and then
good.
That was the start of Savage Daughters. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really remember much about that night, but I do remember playing drums. And so, and somehow we just, you know, clicked.
Yeah.
Like, we just were able to feed off of each other. And I guess that's, like, all telling of how we construct our songs now,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially that same way of a lot of jamming and looking into each other's eyes and
gazing.
Just being really gay towards each other. And then something comes out of it, you know. Like, I feel equally close to both of you, but but like me and Alex have a past.
We have a very
And like, me and Tut have never had any falling outs. Like, we've never had any arguments. Like, I don't even think there's been one time where we've even bickered, like, throughout all the years that we've known each other. But I just laugh because me and Alex have a little bit of a different story.
Yes. We do. We definitely share experiences from our pasts.
Yeah, so essentially in high school, I'm just gonna put it out there. I dated somebody that Alex had dated.
Twice.
Two different people.
Like, right after I date them.
But you know what? We're past that. And
yeah.
But yeah, it adds an interesting element, because I remember being in high school and there were points when me and Alex and
we
Alex
not,
was fucking pissed at me.
Oh God.
And like, rightfully so. So yeah. You know, we're fine now.
Yeah,
we're great.
I think the first time I had seen Summer, and I mean, Tut definitely had seen Summer quite before I had seen her for the first time in a long time. I think it'd been like four or five years since we'd like talked or anything.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
And
yeah, maybe like four years.
Yeah,
I think she was afraid I was gonna kick her ass when I first saw her at
yeah
the
I mean
venue.
You looked like you were literally gonna punch me in the face.
I mean, I was pissed, but Tut wanted to play a show. Like,
there's like a sense of comfortability that I get around these two that, you know, I probably don't get with anyone else. Well, no, I mean, like, you know, it's like one of the big things for me is that you guys introduced me to, like, yeah, like, you know, party culture, like a lot of drugs and like just a lot of like defining experiences of a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And then I also realized, you know, that I was gay during that time. Like, there were a lot of like firsts for me that I experienced with both of you. And I think that that is like a foundation within itself, you know, of and having all of those experiences being like so positive that now that we're older, you know, I look back on that and like there's a lot of nostalgia, but I still, yeah, like I feel comfortable around both of you, and I feel like that definitely like shows within our music and like how I feel like I can write with you guys. And like when you're jamming with people, you're like, hey, let's get together and like jam, you know, like, oh, that could be fun. And a lot of times like people don't mesh or click, or it's just like awkward or whatever. And with them too, like it's just very like, I don't even like think about what I'm doing. I just can like instantly zone out when I'm writing music with them, and like something great happens from that. And I think that that's pretty special. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like rambling at this point, but yeah.
I love you.
Love you too.
The song you're about to listen to is CBB, a song that represents crawling through to find someone else. I don't know, you wrote it.
You got a Ciggy Bop brain. That's what they're going to call you, mate. They're going to call you Ciggy Bop brain.
Twitter at Savage Daughters, Instagram at Savage Daughters. We're on Spotify, Bandcamp,
Apple Music, not SoundCloud. Sorry. One day maybe on SoundCloud.
We'll just put a lo-fi album on there.
Ooh,
Bodacious Space Pirates Sakura. So with everyone being in, you know, this timeline, oddly enough, it's it's given us, like, we've finally been able to, like, structure what we want to do. So coming up, we're gonna have another single coming out probably
couple months.
Yeah, yeah, March, April. Yeah, we'll have another track out. We're working on writing a new album. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hopefully have that out in September. Have a super secret project probably dropping in July.
We should talk about how we're gonna do this cover.
Oh yeah, we're doing a Nikki FM cover
by Hawthorne Heights.
Yep, we're getting old school in here. Yeah.
We're getting there. So yeah. It doesn't sound bad now.
Yeah.
we're thinking about potentially, you know, making like a really like shit 3-song cover of just like old hardcore stuff for the kids, you know?
Yeah, find our Insta, DM us what old hardcore like MySpace scene music would you like to see us cover, and we will probably do it.
Hopefully, yeah, we will be playing at Treefort in Boise in September.
Yes, we can go see our friends.
You know, that's a thing. I don't know. It's supposed to be happening in September, and yeah, we were supposed to play last year, and so hopefully it goes through. They go through with it.
Yeah, I really
hope
so.
We'll see. I don't know, like, how they're gonna navigate.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
This month, celebrate 32 years of Slug with a special virtualized show on February 19th at 8 p.m., featuring local bands Herring, Ivories, and the Painted Roses, plus an anniversary sale going all month long with the discount code 32YEARS. Shop at slugmag.com.